You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Right now, here he is. He's already got the microphone turned up. I can hear the motor running, and he's revved up and ready to go. Good morning,
Good
Dr.
Morning,
History.
Deb.
How
Good.
Are you?
Great, great. I see they're chopping corn now.
Yeah. Boy, you know what? That field over across the highway from me,
yeah.
That's one of the best field of corn I've ever seen.
It looks great.
Oh, my.
It's really good.
Hey, have you got any thank yous this morning?
I do. I want to say hi to my cousin, Dave Hess, over in California. He travels in California and listens to the show. And then also Tony in Ireland.
What? In Ireland?
In Ireland, yeah.
Let's see. Here it is 10:08. So that means that Tony's in a pub over in Ireland having a little Irish ale.
He could be. Okay. Yes, yes. Oh, and I want to say hi to Wayne, who contacted me. Anyway, there's something we're going on there. I'll tell you about it later. Kind of an exciting thing about history.
Oh, okay. So,
but today...
My interest piqued.
All right. Today we're going to talk about a steamboat called the Sultana. Does that ring a bell at all?
No.
Okay. Well...
always act like, oh, goody, doesn't know about this.
Now I can get you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're going to get
okay,
me.
So the Sultana was a Mississippi River side-wheel steamboat. It exploded on April 27th, 1865, in the worst maritime disaster in United States history.
Really?
The worst.
On the Mississippi?
Yeah. Now... It was constructed of wood in 1863 in Cincinnati. It was intended for the lower Mississippi cotton trade. The steamer registered 1,719 tons and normally carried a crew of 85. And for 2 years, she ran a regular route between St. Louis and New Orleans and was frequently commissioned to carry troops.
So this wasn't really a riverboat with the gambling and everything?
No. No, it was kind of a commercial venture.
I see.
Now, it was designed with a capacity of only 376 passengers, and she was carrying 2,137 when three of the boat's four boilers exploded, and she burned to the waterline and sank near Memphis, Tennessee. The disaster was kind of overshadowed at the time in the press because of the end of the Civil War and also the killing of President Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth, just the day before.
Yeah.
So it was, and no one has ever actually held accountable for this tragedy. So
it was man-caused?
Sort of. You know, you'll kind of get that hint maybe as we go along here. It was launched on the 3rd of January, 1863. It was built for speed and capacity, 260 feet long.
260 feet?
Yeah, that's almost as long as a football field. 39 feet wide, two big, huge side-mounted paddle wheels were driven by four boilers. So I didn't realize that you had more than one boiler on these.
That's a big boat.
Yeah. Now, it was under the command of Captain James Mason of St. Louis. So keep that guy in mind. He's going to come into play quite a bit, Captain Mason.
Right.
So Sultana left St. Louis on April 13th, 1865, bound for New Orleans. When word reached the city that President Lincoln had been shot, immediately Captain Mason grabbed an armload of Cairo newspapers and headed south to spread the news. Now, upon reaching Vicksburg, Mississippi, Mason was approached by Captain Reuben Hatch. Now, Hatch had a deal for Mason. He said, "We got thousands of recently released Union prisoners of war that have been held by the Confederacy in these various really bad prisons and had been brought to a small camp outside of Vicksburg. The U.S. government would pay $2.75 per enlisted man and $8 per officer to any steamboat captain who would take a group north." You see what's coming, don't you, Zeb?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Knowing that Captain Mason was in need of money, this Hacks guy suggested that he could guarantee Mason a full load of about 1,400 prisoners if Mason would agree to give him a kickback. Well, hoping to gain a lot of money on this deal, Mason quickly agreed to the offered bribe. He left Vicksburg. Sultana traveled down river to New Orleans. So here we are, April 21st.
So they were headed south.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So April 21st, 1865, Sultana left New Orleans. One of Sultana's four boilers sprang a leak.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The steamboat limped into Vicksburg to get the boiler repaired and to pick up the promised load of prisoners.
Can we see what that caller wants?
Sure.
If it's not relating, we'll hang up and get back to you.
Okay.
Caller, real, real fast. They hung up. All right, good.
Okay. So while the parole prisoners were getting ready, they took the Sultana to a mechanic who was brought down to work. Now, remember, a leaky boiler, all right? That's
right.
Kind of a hint right there.
There you go.
So Captain Mason and his chief engineer, a guy named Nathan, convinced the mechanic to make just kind of a temporary repair. So instead of taking 2 or 3 days, the temporary repair only took 1 day. And while the repairs were being made, Sultana took on all of these paroled prisoners.
So there was 1,400 of them.
Yeah. So Hatch had suggested that Mason might get as many as 1,400 released Union prisoners. The Union officer in charge of the loading placed every man on the parole camp that was at this camp. So it added up to about 1,500.
Wow.
On this that was only supposed to hold like 300 or 400.
Yeah.
So the Sultana had a legal capacity of only 376, and by the time she backed away from Vicksburg on the night of April 24th, 1865, she was severely overcrowded, now with 1,960 paroled prisoners, 22 guards from the 58th Ohio Volunteer Infantry, 70 paying passengers, and 85 crew members. Now we're up to 2,137 people.
On a 260-foot
steamer. It's supposed to only have 376.
Wow.
So a lot of these parole prisoners have been weakened by their imprisonment in the prison camps and illnesses, but they'd managed to gain enough strength while waiting at the camp to be able to at least walk to get on
the board. Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to head home, obviously. Well, the men were packed into every available space, and the overflow was so severe that in some places the decks began to creak and sag and had to be supported with heavy wooden beams. Now remember, this is like a three-layer.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So they had to actually put wooden beams under some of it to hold the weight from above. So
how did it stay afloat?
Well, they could do this. The you could put a lot of weight on those, but I mean, this was going above and beyond.
Yeah.
So April 26th, Sultana stopped at Helena, Arkansas, and near 7 o'clock that night, Sultana reached Memphis. The crew began unloading 120 tons of sugar. So it carried a lot of weight, Zeb.
Plus
all these people. Yeah. And then they went a short distance upriver to take on a new load of coal. So they were really capable of carrying a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of weight. So here we are. It's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning on April 27th, 1865. So April is still kind of cold, right? When the Sultana was just 7 miles north of Memphis, its boilers suddenly exploded. First one boiler exploded, followed a split second later by two more. This enormous explosion of steam came from the top rear of the boilers and went upward at a 45-degree angle, tearing through the crowded decks above and completely demolishing the pilot house. So now they don't have a pilot to steer the boat. The Sultana began drifting and burning, just uncontrolled.
Was Mason not on duty?
Yeah. No, we'll get to him.
Okay.
Now, this terrific explosion flung some of the deck passengers into the water and destroyed a large section of the boat. The twin smokestacks toppled over. The right-hand one went backwards into the hole where the boilers had been. The left-hand one went forward and fell onto the crowded section of the deck.
How many were killed?
Well, we'll get to that,
too. I figured you would. Yeah. Thank you.
The forward part of the, it killed a bunch of people, trapped them in the wreckage, and fortunately, the sturdy railings around the twin openings of the stairway prevented the upper deck from crushing down completely into the middle deck. So, anyway, it was bad. So those men sleeping around the twin openings quickly crawled under the wreckage and down the main stairs, and further back, the collapsing decks formed a slope that led down into this exposed furnace box, which was a cauldron of burning wreck. But so the remaining superstructure was an inferno. Now, survivors of the explosion panicked and raced for the safety of the water, but in their weakened condition, they soon ran out of strength and began to cling on to each other, and whole groups went down together.
Oh, my.
I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people didn't know how to swim back then, Zeb. And so with all these people in the water, you know, they would just hang on to each other and just, I hate to say it, but they would just go down.
Yeah.
You know? Well, while this fight for survival was taking place, the southbound steamer called the Bostana, built in 1860 but coming downriver on her maiden voyage after being refurbished, arrived at about 2:30 a.m., so about a half an hour later, a half hour after the explosion.
How far from shore were they?
Well, there's parts of the river that are a mile, 2 miles, even 3 miles
yeah,
wide.
Yeah, the Mississippi is a very changing river.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I've been on it quite a bit.
Yeah. So they came upon the site and started to rescue some of the survivors. And at the same time, dozens of people began to float past the Memphis waterfront. So they were several miles up from Memphis. And as they were doing this, some of the docked steamboats and the U.S. warships immediately set about rescuing these half-drowned victims that were floating down the river. Now, eventually, the hulk of the Santana drifted about 6 miles to the west bank of the river and sank at about 9 o'clock that next morning near a place called Mound City, which is present-day Marion, Arkansas, mm-hmm. which is about 7 hours after the explosion. Mm-hmm. Now, other vessels joined the rescue, including the steamers the Silver Spray, the Jenny Lind, and Pocahontas, the Navy ironclad, the Essex, and the sidewheel gunboat, the USS Tyler, and passengers who survived the initial explosion had to risk their lives in this icy, cold spring runoff of the Mississippi or burn on the boat. So what do? Do you stay on the boat or do you jump in? And unfortunately, a lot of them died of drowning or hypothermia.
Hypothermia, yeah.
Yeah, you just can't be in that water that long.
No.
So some survivors were plucked from the tops of semi-submerged trees along the Arkansas shore. Bodies of victims continued to be found downriver for months, some as far as Vicksburg.
Oh, my.
A lot of bodies were never recovered. You can imagine with an explosion like that. And most of Sultana's officers, including Captain Mason, were among those who perished.
Really?
So, you know, if he was in the pilot house, and as I said earlier, it just exploded right underneath the pilot house. So anybody in there probably was just instantly killed.
Yeah.
So the exact death toll is unknown, although the most recent evidence indicates 1,168
wow.
that died.
Wow.
On May 19th, 1865, less than a month after the disaster, Brigadier General William Hoffman, Commissary General of the prisoners who investigated the disaster, reported an overall loss of soldiers, passengers, and crew of 1,238. And in February 1867, the Bureau of Military Justice placed the death toll at 1,100. So you're, you know, between 1,100 and 1,250 people died.
Wow.
And in 1880, the 51st Congress reported the loss aboard the Sultana as 1,259. But then again, they came back and said as many as 1,547.
So didn't they have any, what am I trying to say?
Like a manifest.
Manifest or something, yeah.
No. And if they did, it would have been destroyed in the fire. So there may.
But they didn't keep anything on shore at the leaving or.
Well, whatever they did have, that's what they finally came up with. was 1,547. So, but in 1880, the War Department placed the number of survivors at 931. But the dead soldiers were buried at the Fort Pickering Cemetery, located on the south shore of Memphis. So let's look at the cause. Okay, the official cause of the Sultana disaster was determined to be mismanagement of water levels in the boilers, and this was made worse by the fact that the vessel was severely overcrowded and top-heavy. Remember, they just kept piling them on higher and higher. So as the steamboat made her way north, following the twists and turns of the river, this boat would list severely from one side to the other. It would tip. Now, this was a problem because her four boilers were interconnected and they were mounted side by side, so that if the boat tipped sideways, water would tend to run out of the highest boiler with the fire still going against the empty boiler. So this increased the hot spots in the empty boiler because they're still getting fed, you know, the coal or wood.
Yeah.
So, well, when the boat tipped the other way, the water rushed back into the empty boiler, would hit the hot spots, and flash instantly to steam, which would create a sudden surge of pressure. So this effect of tipping back and forth could have been minimized by maintaining the water level in the boiler. So they didn't have enough water to keep the boilers completely full.
Huh.
Okay. So the official inquiry found that the boat's boilers exploded due to the combined efforts of the tipping left and right, the low water level, and the faulty repair, remember I mentioned earlier,
right,
to the leaky boiler a few days earlier. So,
can I ask you an obviously dumb question?
Okay.
When did they start welding?
You know, I have no idea. I don't know how, you know.
I'm just curious on these boilers and that.
Right, how would they repair?
Anybody out there that knows welding and knows the answer as to when welding, per se, started, let us know.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know how they would have repaired that boiler. But the most recent investigation determined that there were three main factors that led to the explosion, which, number one, the type of metal used in the construction of the boilers. Okay, so it may not have been the best metal that they used to make these boilers. Number two, the use of dirty Mississippi River water to feed the boilers.
Yeah, it would have debris in it and everything
else. Well, mud.
Yeah.
You know, and that could clog some of the pipes in between. And number three, they said, was the design of the boilers. Somehow because of the way they were designed side by side and interconnected. So those are kind of the three.
It makes you kind of think, you know, here we are in 2020. And this happened in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
All those years, I mean, and here we're talking about technology, technocracy, and, you know, I'd like to know more about welding and how these boilers were constructed and everything. The Americans were pretty filled with ingenuity on how to build things.
Exactly. And these riverboats could float in sometimes as little as like 4 or 5 feet of water.
Really?
So
big flat bottom, huh?
Yeah. But the master, the captain of the Sultana, Captain Mason, who was ultimately responsible for dangerously overloading his ship and ordering the faulty repairs to her leaky boiler. Of course, I told you he died in the explosion. And in the end, no one was ever held accountable for the greatest maritime disaster in United States history. Now, in 1982, a local archaeological expedition, they were searching. And the Mississippi River has changed course several times, like we mentioned, since the disaster, and it leaves the wreck under dry land and far from today's river, about 2 miles from the actual river where
so
it runs today.
So they found parts of it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. But, Zeb, there were so many boats, I can't remember the exact number, that exploded. This was not an uncommon thing to explode. In fact, Mark Twain, who, of course, was on different boats, his brother was on a ship, on a steamer that exploded and actually died a few days later. Mark Twain went to see his brother and was with him when he finally died.
No kidding.
From the explosion. But yeah, there was a documentary on this Sultana on a documentary on that I watched on Apple TV on one of the. That's what made me interested in doing a show about this. But they indicated that there was a lot of explosions that took place time and time
again. Have you been on the Mississippi?
I've driven over it. I've never been on it.
It's a weird river. I mean, you can go from the narrows to the, like you said, a mile, mile and a quarter, mile and a half, whatever it might be. And the depths of the river are changing. Well, I mean, I know spots of the Mississippi up around Iowa and Wisconsin and up in through there. You can walk across.
Yeah. Well, and then you got to remember snags, trees that come out during the high water and they get embedded in the dirt in the bottom. And, you know, some of these would snag onto a tree and sink.
Yeah. How did they navigate? Dumb question, okay? How did you navigate with a flat-bottom boat as opposed to you're smiling at me?
Because I have no idea.
You're supposed to be a naval expert.
Okay, so just in my thinking, I'm thinking, could they slow down the paddle on the left side and increase the speed on the right to turn?
I don't know. That's a good theory.
I don't know.
I'm looking
steer?
At a flat bottom boat that's 260 feet long.
Yeah.
And how wide was it?
What did I say? 90 or
90
something?
Feet wide.
Yeah.
So that's like home plate to first base wide.
And actually only 39 feet wide base.
Okay.
42 feet wide up on the first deck.
But you've got a flat bottom, which isn't going to, it's going to be bluntly hitting the waves and everything. It's going to be that much harder to steer, isn't it?
Well, and then you throw in some wind.
And a lot of weight.
Yeah. And like I say, if you get some wind blowing that big of a boat.
You know what we need? We need a Navy man to explain this to us.
We do, but I don't know any that actually served on a steamboat.
Okay. Well, if they're old like you, they should have.
That's right.
I got to run.
I know.
That was an interesting story. Let's find out some more about that, though.
I would like to know more, yeah.
Okay.